It's easy to find evidence that much of the world is furious at the United States. Just glance at the international media coverage of the war in Iraq, or look at poll numbers from one country after another. But those same surveys find people who admire American ideals. So we're about to start a series of conversations with people in different parts of the world. We'll be talking to people whose jobs bring them into contact with the U.S., from travel agents to business leaders to activists. NPR's Renee Montagne will be joining us throughout the week. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
So for the first conversation, you talked to a businessman in Russia.
I did indeed. His name is Ivan Menchikov. He's in Moscow. He's a vice president at TNK. That's Russia's third largest oil company. His job basically is getting financing for oil deals, and those deals bring him to the U.S. several times a year. He's discovered that Americans do know a fair amount about Russia, and especially in the last couple of years, people in Moscow have been paying a lot of attention to the U.S. Among the people he talks to, there is, he says, a generally held view of the U.S.
Well, I would say it's the biggest and most diversified economy in the world, with, for us, a little bit strange international ambitions.
Of course, an American would say, strange? What do you mean, strange?
After September 11th, there was an overwhelming feeling all over Russia to support the United States in their anti-terrorist war. That was a consensus decision here in the society. But then we started seeing that maybe the actions were not always justified, didn't have enough reasoning behind them, and maybe didn't have results which everybody expected. Neither the war in Afghanistan brought any peace, freedom, annihilation of terrorists, nor, of course, the war against Iraq, which was absolutely clear for us here, who didn't have any relation to Osama bin Laden. We couldn't see any relationship between these two, and we were not provided any proofs of that. That's why we consider that strange.
What do Russians make of the U.S. reluctance to get involved with the U.N.?
Of course, we consider the U.N. one of the biggest achievements of the mankind, where all the lessons of the two world wars were incorporated. Maybe it's not perfect, but it's definitely better than any other political organization ever set up, which has turned the world from what it has been in the 19th century and before that, in the first half of the 20th century, with wars, world wars erupting every two decades, into a more or less stable and reasonable world, to get some feeling, some judgment about the international law, about something being legal and illegal, with all their discrepancies about some countries having veto powers and others not having them. But still, that was a big step towards, well, I would say, a more fair world.
Let's talk about culture for a moment, low-C culture. Where does it stand? Is there a generational gap in this, too? Perhaps younger people more than older people embrace American culture or reject it?
Well, definitely we like American movies, blockbusters. Some of us like American music, jazz, you know. We normally like the American lifestyle. We want to live in houses. We want to live in a suburban style, you know, to have a couple of cars, you know, to go out surfing. We like the American economic infrastructure, the social capital of the U.S. We know how entrepreneurial the Americans are, how defined the legislation in the U.S. is, how absolutely independent or more or less independent it is from other political forces in the country, which makes business a much easier game to play out there. We know that the American society is tolerant to failure in business. If you fail in one city, you can go and reinvent yourself in another, which is not characteristic for traditional societies. Once you fail, you're finished.
Just from your point of view, just from people you talk to, what do you sense is ahead, the relationship between the two countries?
Wherever we like the U.S. or we hate the U.S., realistically we understand today it's a economical mega power. Economically, financially, this is the center of the world. Everybody who wants, you know, to do good in the current business environment has to have good relationships with the U.S. and with U.S. financial institutions, investors, and all this large business community.
At this point in time, what do you think about the whole notion of American democracy and freedom?
Well, I think we're smart and educated enough to differentiate the policy of the administration and the values of freedom and democracy existing in a country. And the recent hearings in the Congress and in the British Parliament, by the way, as well, about was the administration right? Did it have enough arguments to go for this war? And maybe there will be still more harder consequences for the administration about if they don't provide enough reasons for going to this war. This shows that basic democratic rights, freedoms, and values definitely exist in the U.S. And we don't see a contradiction here. On the contrary, we see that these investigations, like the Watergate affair, and showed that every country has its weaknesses and every administration can have weaknesses, but there should be a strong social capital. And this is what we see in the U.S.
And would you say admire?
Well, we envy.
Envy.
We envy that. Having this, you know, strong social capital, which, you know, can correct any administration's mistakes. We've seen it in your history a couple of times at least.
Ivan Menchikov, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ivan Menchikov is a vice president at the oil company TNK, one of the largest in Russia. I'm Renee Montaigne at NPR West in Los Angeles.
Tomorrow we will talk to a former member of Egypt's parliament who says Egyptians have a much lower opinion of the United States since the war on terrorism began. You can find information about this series and a Pew Research Center poll on world opinions about America at npr.org.